Good morning to you all. Genesis chapter 46 this morning. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis 46. If you don't have a Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, you should be able to find one in under the seat in front of you. And love to have you read along with us this morning. We'll be in Genesis chapter 46. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to call you Father. Lord, thank you for making it possible for us to have all of our sins forgiven, that we might become your children. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time in your word. Father, I want to thank you for the dads. I want to thank you for blessing us with dads. And for those who are dads here, I pray that you would greatly encourage them this morning. Remind us, Lord, of what's priority in life. May we take our cues from you because you're the best father. Bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A teenage boy had just passed his driving test and inquired of his father as to when they could discuss his use of the car. His father said he'd make a deal with his son. You bring your grades up from a C to a B average, study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut. Then we'll talk about the car. The boy thought about that for a moment, decided he'd settle for the offer, and they agreed on it. After about 6 weeks, his father said, "Son, you've brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been studying your Bible, but I'm disappointed you haven't had your hair cut." That boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." You're going to love the dad's reply. "Did you also notice they all walked everywhere?" I love that. You cannot outsmart dad. Love those dads. Well, this morning we come to a passage in Genesis which is absolutely perfect for a Father's Day Sunday. Here in Genesis chapter 46, we have a wonderful story. I'm certain that they didn't celebrate Father's Day back then. But Jacob, also known as Israel, has one of the best days in his life as a dad. After 22 years of separation, after 22 years of believing that his son Joseph was dead, there's a glorious reunion between Jacob and Joseph, between father and son. A glorious Father's Day indeed. If you remember, Jacob has just found out that Joseph is alive. And that Joseph is now a governor in Egypt. Jacob packs up his belongings, packs up his sons and grandchildren, and they make the trip from the promised land down south to Egypt. And here, he's going to meet Joseph again after 22 years. Look at verse 28 of Genesis chapter 46. It says, "Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph, to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck. and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I've seen your face, because you are still alive." What a beautiful, tender moment. What a reunion. I love the way that Joseph treats his dad. It serves as a wonderful, wonderful example for us. The way that Joseph treats his dad in our passage this morning is the way that we should treat our dads, and not just on Father's Day, but throughout the year. I want you to notice first that Joseph gave his dad his complete, undivided attention. Jacob and his sons, they arrive in Goshen. Joseph gets word, verse 29 says, he made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, and he presented himself to him. Dad has arrived. Joseph gets his chariot, takes the trip from the palace to the land of Goshen, the era region of Egypt, and presents himself to his dad. He gave him his attention. Understand this, Joseph was a very busy man. He was running a nation. He was involved in a national crisis. You remember there's a famine in the land. People from all over the region are coming to Egypt to buy grain because Joseph had stored up food. And so he's got this massive distribution project underway. Can you imagine how many people needed Joseph's attention? Can you imagine how many situations he was facing? Can you imagine how packed his inbox must have been? Very, very busy, busy man. Nobody busier than Joseph. But he set it all aside. And he went to his dad. He presented himself to his dad. He gave his dad his undivided attention. He was a son who gave dad attention. And that's exactly how we need to treat our dads. Amen. We need to give our dads undivided attention. Father's Day is a great opportunity for you to do that. I hope that maybe after church today, you'll be getting in your chariot and presenting yourself to your dad. Perhaps you'll take him out to lunch, or you'll take him out to dinner. You'll barbecue. Or maybe if travel isn't permitted, maybe if dad lives somewhere else, I hope you will take the opportunity to pick up a phone and call him. Hopefully you sent a card. Hopefully you even sent a present. And no, not just on Father's Day, but throughout the year. Folks, listen, we need to give our dads attention. Throughout the year. I know it gets very busy. I know there's emails to respond to. I know it's very difficult in making things happen in life. And I'll tell you, weeks fly by, don't they? But call your dad regularly. Take his calls. Spend some vacation time and go up and visit dad. Give him your attention. He needs it. Teenagers, youngsters in the house, give your dad attention. When he says, "Hey, come here, go there." When he tells you to do something, do it. And you know what? Here's something I'd like you to think about, young kid. Just go to dad and talk to him every now and then. Just give him a little bit of attention. Don't go to dad with agendas. Don't say, "Hey, dad, how you doing today? Could I borrow the car? Borrow some money?" Give your dad attention. Dads are people too. They need a little attention. Now, us dads here in the room, and let me talk to those who perhaps still have your children with you. I want you to understand something. If you want your kids to give you their attention both now and when they grow up and leave home, then you better give them your attention. Dads need to give their kids undivided attention from time to time. Now, again, I know we get very busy and we get all caught up in being the provider for the family, and that's a huge part of what we're called to be and do. But we need to make sure that our kids are getting daddy time often. They need you. They need us. Years ago, Harry Chapin recorded a very powerful song entitled Cats in the Cradle. I remember a pastor reading the lyrics to this song in church when I was a kid, and it's such a powerful, powerful song. Let me share them with you. It goes, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be like you.' And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. 'When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then.' My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I got a lot to do.' He said, 'That's okay.' And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed, and said, 'I'm going to be like him, yeah. You know I'm going to be like him.' And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. 'When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then.' Well, he came home from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, 'Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?' He shook his head and said with a smile, 'What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?' And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. 'When you coming home, son? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then.' I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, 'I'd like to see you, if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me. He'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. 'When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then.'" Dad, give your kids attention. Amen. Give them your love. Show them. Spend that time. I know it's busy, but spend that time with them. They need it. Gary Ezzo said, "I once asked my daughter Jennifer when she thought what she thought were the biggest problems fathers have with kids. And she said, 'Well, dads have too many tomorrows. You know, I'll play with you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow.' She was right. Dad, be there now for your children, building quality and quantity benchmarks of trust. Don't wait until tomorrow, or you'll end up wasting too many todays." You know, I think this thing that we call attention is important for every member of the family. Wives need attention. Husbands need attention. Children need attention. Parents need attention. On this Father's Day, give Dad attention. Notice also, secondly, that Joseph gave his dad affection. Verse 29, Joseph made ready his chariot, went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, presented himself to him, and look at this, fell on his neck, wept on his neck a good while. These are two grown men. This is a long, tender embrace. This is a son weeping all over his dad. Father and son showing affection to one another. Folks, We need to do that with our dads. Give your dad your affection. Give your dad your hugs. Give your dad your kisses. Give your dad your tears. I believe that the showing of affection is very, very important in a family. I believe it communicates security. I believe it communicates trust. I believe it communicates warmth. Now, I was very blessed. I grew up in a very affectionate family. My dad is extremely affectionate. My mom, affectionate. They would kiss each other and hug each other right in front of me and my brother. They would tell each other that they loved us. And they loved each other. My mom every day would kiss me and hug me and tell me she loved me. My dad would do the very same thing. He'd kiss me. He'd hug me. He'd tell me that he loved me. Some of the fondest memories of my childhood go way, way back. I can remember when I was 3 and my dad would tuck me to bed. And he'd lay there in the bed with me and he'd sing Al Jolson songs to me. He had a lousy voice, but I loved it. Climb upon my knee, sonny boy. Though you're only 3, sonny boy. You've no way of knowing, and I've no way of showing, what you mean to me, sonny boy. I remember. It was wonderful. You know, to this day, when I meet my dad, I kiss him on the lips. I hug him. There's affection. And I have brought that affection into my family. I kiss and hug my wife in front of our kids, and I don't care how many times they go, yuck. I kiss my kids. I sang to them when I tucked them in. You know what? There's security there. There's warmth there. Now, you know what? There are some guys that think, well, that ain't manly. It's not manly to show affection. Father and son shouldn't be hugging and kissing. Warm, firm handshake will do. Pat on the back. I beg to differ. You know, according to some studies by Dr. James Dobson, a focus on the family. Conclusion. Cold, rigid, unloving fathers often produce children with severe emotional disorders. But children who grow up with warm, affectionate fathers rarely experience severe emotional disability. What's wrong with telling the people that you love them? Show that affection. You know what? When your kids grow up and leave the house, you're going to miss those opportunities. And you know what? When your dad gets older one day and someday departs this life, you're going to miss those opportunities. Give your dad affection. Give him your love. No regrets. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "My only regret in life is that it was always so difficult to let my father know the great depth of my affection for him." Don't let that be said of you. Now, as you continue in the story, you see that Joseph will also give his dad respect, honor, the honor that he's due. Look at verse 31. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, remember now, they've just gotten to Egypt. "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, 'My brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be,'" he's talking to his brothers, "'when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" that you shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Okay, this is interesting. Apparently, there was a caste system in Egypt. There was a very strong different distinction among classes. Now, the top class was Egyptian royalty. Pharaoh, his family, all those the leader of Egypt. The second class, it would appear, would be all the rest of the Egyptians. The third class, the low class, was foreigners. They were treated differently. In fact, you remember in a prior passage when Joseph's brothers visited before, they had to sit at their own table. They were foreigners. They were Hebrews. The Egyptians wouldn't mix with them. So they had the lower class. And then it would appear that the lowest rung on the social ladder in Egypt was occupied by shepherds. Egyptians didn't hang out with shepherds because they hang out with animals. They were dirty. They were filthy. And we know for a fact that there was segregation of shepherds. Shepherds weren't allowed into various areas of Egypt. Shepherds were forbidden to enter any temple of an Egyptian deity. So here comes Joseph's family to town, and it's almost like, look what the cat dragged in, right? They're Hebrews, and they're all shepherds. And they occupy this place. Now Joseph tells his brothers, I'm going to come clean with this. I'm going to tell Pharaoh all about this. And when Pharaoh asks you what you do, don't be ashamed to say, I'm a shepherd. So in verse 1, we read, then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And indeed they are in the land of Goshen. And he, Joseph, took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? And they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to dwell in the land because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. So Pharaoh is very gracious to these shepherds. And it's no doubt all because of Joseph, how much he's come to respect Joseph. So Joseph's family is going to be given their own spot. They're going to be segregated. They're going to be living in Goshen, one of the best places. And there they're going to take care of the livestock. And there they're also going to even begin to take care of Pharaoh's livestock, which is a great arrangement. And in verse 7, then Joseph brought in his father, Jacob, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage, isn't that an interesting way to describe life? Are 130 years, few and evil have been the days of my years of my life. And they have not obtained the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. This is another very, very tender scene. Joseph introducing dad to Pharaoh. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind. On one side, you've got the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. Can you see him dressed in royalty? And then on the other side, here comes this elderly man in shepherd's robes. I see him holding a cane, a staff. Here he is, a Hebrew, And not only is he a shepherd, he's the owner of a shepherding business. And there they are, standing before one another. Now, I see something beautiful here in Joseph. He was in no way embarrassed of dad. And this was a sign of respect. This was a sign of honor to arrange this face-to-face meeting between his dad and Pharaoh. I mean, this is Joseph saying, Pharaoh, meet my dad. I want you to meet him. This was a son who was proud of dad. This was a son who gave honor and respect to dad. May we be those who give our dads the same thing. Amen? Honor, respect. Let's not be embarrassed of dad. You know, this word honor has the idea of giving weight. It's very closely related to the word to glorify. To give someone glory is to give weight. And the idea is, give your dad weight. Not in pounds, you know what I'm talking about, but weight in who he is, in reverence. Give him that respect. There are two commandments in the New Testament that speak of how we should treat our dads. And they're all in a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to read them to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's two commands there. First, I believe that command to obey applies to children in the home. If you are in the home, you are to obey mom and dad. Amen, parents. You are to live in obedience to them. But then that second command says, honor your father and mother. Now, I think this would apply to children who are living in the home, but who have also grown up and left the home. The idea that you give them respect, you give them honor, you give them weight. Take their advice. Listen to it. Take good care of them. Honor them. I used to have friends that would refer to their dad. They say, my old man. Oh, my old man this. I hate that. Don't refer to your dad as my old man. You know what? He changed your diapers, buckaroo. He did so many things for you. You know how he cared for you. You give him respect. You give him honor because he's dad. Give that attention, that affection, that honor. By the way, dad, if you want honor and respect, make sure you're living an honorable life. A respectful life. You can't demand honor. You know, the person that runs around and says, you must respect me. Should be easy to respect you. Should make it easy. But even if you've had a dad who's been, not all the greatest of dads, as a Christian, honor. Show respect. Even if that might be difficult. Now, I want you to notice another detail in here. Again, picture, you have the shepherd over here and you have Pharaoh over here, and they're having this face-to-face meeting. Who blesses who? What does it say? Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, isn't that odd? You would think that Pharaoh would be the one that would bless Jacob. But Jacob pronounces the blessing upon Pharaoh. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that the one who gives the blessing is greater than the one who receives the blessing. So according to that definition, who's the greatest man in that face-to-face meeting? Jacob. Now that's... Pharaoh's this top-notch guy. He's got all of this power. He's the prince of Egypt. He's a high society guy. Very important in this world. But Jacob was a prince of God. He was a man of faith. He was a man who had a relationship with the living God. And as such, was qualified to call down blessings. Very, very important principle there for us dads. You know, as a dad, you have lots of titles. Your title might be CEO. Your title might be accountant, doctor, lawyer, businessman, entrepreneur. Some of you coach your kids' team, and you might have the title coach. There's a lot of things that you might be. There's a lot of titles that you might have. The most important title for you is man of God. Man of faith. The man who calls down blessings from heaven upon his wife and his children. That is the most important thing. Fail at anything else. Don't fail at that. Be the spiritual leader of your home. I want to encourage you, dads. Make your number one relationship your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, if you don't have a relationship with God, you need one right now. You need to become a man of faith. You need to give your life to Him. And then nurture that relationship that you have with God. And then nurture your family. Lead them to God. Take them to church. Pray with them. Do you know how important that is for a family? There was a study done years ago. Imagine a home where both mom and dad go to church regularly with their kids. The stats say that 80% of kids from that home will go to church when they grow up. Okay, now picture a home where mom alone goes to church with her kids. 40% of those kids go to church when they grow up. Now picture a family where dad alone goes to church with kids. 70% of kids in that condition go to church when they grow up. Just a little bit less than when both parents. Do you understand, Dad, how powerful your influence is? I mean, it is, there's nothing more powerful in the development of a kid. Bless them. You might say, well, I don't know how to, you know, read the Bible, teach the Bible, you know, talk about spiritual stuff to my family. You better figure it out. You don't have to have a doctorate degree. You don't have to go to seminary so you can lead your kids in a devotion. It can be very, very simple. Wonderful article that I read. It goes, she was blonde and beautiful with azure eyes and a tumble of tawny curls. At 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile, and purr, "This is my safe place." And so it was. Dads, husbands, you are the safe place. You're the protector. You're our provider. And when you gather for us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A safe place, not a lecture. A safe place, not a sermon. A very human dad who simply cares about God and us. We don't need or even want a spiritual giant. We just want you. And we need a gathering time, phone unplugged, where it's safe to say to each other, how are you and the Lord getting along? How can we pray today? We need a safe place to cry, laugh, sing, rejoice, challenge, share, and sometimes not to share, and have it be okay. We need a time with you that's relaxed, unstiff, when we can pray honestly in simple sentences from our hearts, unfixed, unrigid, unroutine, unshackled. We need a place where irregular opinions are respected and where God has the last word. We need a gentleman leader, not a general. Gracious, relaxed, human, a family shepherd who exhibits not infallible authority, but a thirst for God. Every day, not necessarily. Often, yes. Long, no. Where? Anywhere. How? Sense where we're at and zero in. We may need heavy-duty confessing to each other and to God. Silent prayer, exuberant praise. Bible study, but not every time. Thanks for listening, Dad. Remember, we need you. Your family. That's simple. First thing, do you have a relationship with the Lord yourself? Are you growing? And then just take time to share. Take time to pour that faith into your family. So, Joseph has given his dad attention. Joseph has given his dad his affection. Joseph has given dad honor and respect. As we close it out, you see Joseph giving dad provision. What it says in verse 11. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. In the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, which was part of Goshen, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. So now we have a son providing for dad, taking care of dad. Jacob has become older. He's moved from his home. He's now moved out into a totally different community. And we see that Joseph is going to take very good care of him and the rest of the family. Great son. A good son will make sure his dad is taken care of in his old age. That is absolutely something that we must be committed to as Christians, to make sure that our parents are taken care of in their old age. You know, roles in life change. And they can change pretty quickly. You know, you have this young man who gets married and they have a son together. And this young dad starts to get older and the son starts to get older. And eventually the son grows up and moves out. And this young dad is not so young anymore and he becomes elderly and maybe it's hard for him to walk. Maybe he has physical issues. Maybe he has mental issues. And it's at that time where there's a role that changes. And we need to take care of our dads. Now I'm telling you that, I know that that can be very, very difficult work. Taking care of somebody who's bedridden in some cases or somebody who needs extreme care. Maybe some of you are even dealing with that right now. And you know what? You're taking care of an older mom or dad and you've had to sort of almost even put your life on hold. And it's hard work. It takes lots of sacrifice. I want you to know that if you are doing that, that is holy work. That is holy work. In fact, there's a verse in the New Testament, there's a word that's used in the New Testament that speaks of showing compassion and showing mercy and taking care of people who are, you know, needing full-time care. And the word that's used is a word that's also used to speak of what the priests would do in the temple. I mean, I want you to think about a priest and what they did in the Old Testament temple. They did a lot of impressive stuff. I mean, they did the sacrifices. They did all the ritual. You see them in their robes, man. You think of a priest and you think, wow, that guy does holy stuff. I want you to know that very same word is used to speak of somebody who takes care of somebody who's bedridden. That's holy stuff. And you know what? We need to go forward in that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take care of mom and dad. Joseph's a great example for us, isn't he? Gave his dad attention, affection, respect, honor, wasn't embarrassed, and provided for his dad in his old age. That is exactly the type of children that we need to be. Now, let me mention a few special cases, because I know that Father's Day, it's a wonderful day for many, but for many, it's a sad day. In fact, I know of several families in our church where this Father's Day is the first Father's Day that they experience without dad. They lost their dad, and it can be very, very sad. Well, I want to say to you, listen, celebrate your dad today. Remember him. Rejoice in the time that you had to spend with him. And you know what? Remember, there's a reunion in heaven. And think about everything that you appreciated about your dad. And take that and say, you know what? I'm going to be that kind of dad to my kids. There are some here this morning who your dad is still alive, but you don't have a very good relationship with him. In fact, he wasn't a very good dad. Maybe he wasn't there for you at all when you were growing up, or maybe he was destructive. And maybe you've grown very, very bitter towards him. I want to challenge you this morning. And it's a huge challenge. And I know it's difficult. And I know it's very hard. And you know what? You can't do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, if you don't have a relationship with God, you need one in order to be able to do this. But reach out to your dad. Forgive him. Let those years of bitterness go away. You know what? That bitterness hurts you. Is it going to be easy? Is it like all of a sudden, you know, this wonderful father-son, father-daughter relationship? Probably not, but ask the Lord to help you and to heal you. Your dad may need Jesus Christ desperately. And now that you've found him, maybe you need to share him with your dad. There are some here this morning, and you hear a Father's Day sermon, and you think, oh, well, bummer. I've blown it as a dad. I've failed. I haven't been giving attention. And you know what? You may be sitting here as a dad, and you know that right now you are failing miserably. I want you to know that there's hope for you. But you have got to turn over your life to God. You've got to get straight with him. You've got to get right with him. If you're a Christian and you've been walking away, you need to come back to him. That's the most important thing that needs to happen in your life and in the health of your family. You need to come back. If you don't know God, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to do so right now. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible says we can call God our Heavenly Father? It even goes further. It says we can call God Dad. That is the type of relationship that God wants with us. He wants to be our Heavenly Father, and He can make you a better father if you let Him be your father. And I think that we can apply everything that Joseph did with his dad in this passage to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If you're a Christian, God is your Heavenly Father. Give Him your attention regularly. What does that mean? That means spend time with Him. Give Him your affection. Love on Him. Worship Him. Cry before Him. You know what? Give your Heavenly Father the honor and the respect due His name. Don't ever be embarrassed of your Heavenly Father. Stand for Him in your workplace. The only place where the analogy breaks down is in the fourth one. You can't provide for God in His old age because He never gets old. And quite frankly, He doesn't need your help. He's the provider. And He continues to provide blessing. He provides salvation. He provides heaven. He provides all of the riches that are His in Christ. Enjoy. Be sure to tell God Happy Father's Day today too. Amen? As you're doing that with your dad. Let's bow our heads. Let's commit this to the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. What has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Dad, what has the Lord spoken to you this morning? You take that to the Lord right now. Wife, children, what has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Is there any way that you need to reach out to your dad, your husband? Now listen, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do so right now. You can't even begin to think about being a good dad or wife or husband or mother or son unless you have Jesus Christ living in your life. You need God. And God has made it possible for you to have a relationship with Him. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, and He rose again that third day. And He's alive, and He's here to save you, receive you back if you've turned away. If you've never received Christ, I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. I'll lead it, and you pray it in the quietness of your heart. Talking straight to the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, I invite You to be my Savior. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash all my sins away. Make me right now a child of God. Fill me with your Spirit. And help me to live my life for you. Father, in closing, I want to pray for every family represented here. God, for families that are struggling right now, I pray that there would be healing. I pray that there would be reconciliation. I pray that these families that you've given us would be these precious little wonderful blessings. That together we would serve you. Praise your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the song together. Our leaders will